Let's call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we do the roll call, I will remind the governing body that we are here for informational purposes only. There should only be discussion amongst council and our presenters regarding anything that would be, or should not be, anything that would be regarded as privileged information. We are just here for the presentation purposes only. May I have a roll call, please?
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Okay, I'm going to move down here so I can see. Okay. Mr. Seifel?
I guess I'm up.
This is Roy Seifel, the Chief of the Colonial Regional Police Department.
Roy Seifel, as you stated, I'm the Chief of the Colonial Regional Police Department. I've been so since 2003. I'm here to present some information, good, bad, or ugly. You know, I'll show you what we've done with our regional police department, how we started it, the good things about it, the bad things about it. I've also brought Glenn Walbert, who is my chairman of my commission, so he's my boss. So I'm going to get my order here first. I wasn't exactly sure what you said, but I'm open for questions if people have questions. If that's all right with you.
Sure.
It's your meeting.
I don't want to get into details of contract
decisions. I can tell you what we do, what we provide our municipalities, and some of the things that you want to do and some of the things, obviously, you don't want to do. I've been a policeman 1977. I've been in regional policing since 1978. I first started in Northern York County Regional Police. I'm sorry, let me move up here. I first started in Northern York County Regional Police Department, which was one of the first regional police departments in the state. And then I've since moved around. I worked with Bethlehem City for a while, and I found a home in Colonial Regional back in 1995 when we began. A lot of stuff what I'm going to say is going to be up here anyhow, and I think it's in the handout that you have. National Advisory Commission on the Criminal Justice sets standards and goals, and back in 2010 they issued a report that said that, you know, every police agency should provide services at the most effective and efficient organizational means.
If I can interrupt you, just for anybody who's interested, the handouts, the copies over here.
Yeah, it's the same as what I'm going through, but at least you can follow, you can take it home and do whatever you want. They've also said that any police agency that employs less than 10 people should consider some type of consolidation, whether that be regionalization, whether it be a contractual issue, or some other type of service. Pennsylvania, I'm not familiar with New Jersey, but Pennsylvania is a mess. Pennsylvania has over 2,500 municipalities. And you can see that total police departments are 1,344. Does anybody know the number in New Jersey?
Well, we have 566 municipalities.
Well, 65, isn't it?
Yeah.
65 with the, yeah.
How about your PDs? How many different? Any idea?
Probably 565. Or 564.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to do with state police coverage.
Well, we also have that. We have a... State police, out of those, half of them are covered by state police. We now have 33 regional police departments. There was one that just was formed up in the Slate Belt Regional Police, the Wind Gap and Arnville. It's just the numbers of full-time officers, part-time officers. So we got a lot of policemen running around in Pennsylvania, a lot of different departments. A little bit about our department, we were established in 1995, governed by a board of commissioners. There's three commissioners. They are elected officials from each municipality that we serve. We serve the municipalities of Lower Niagara Township, the Borough of Bath, and Hanover Township in Northampton County. I qualify that because there's a Hanover Township in Lehigh County right next door. We border Northampton, we border Lehigh County. If you're familiar with the ABE Airport, we are on the opposite side of the street of the ABE Airport. We go all the way down to Route 248 and Route 33. That's called Lower Niagara Township, and we have a Walmart down there.
Your Board of Commissioners, are they separately elected, or is it just elected officials from the various municipalities?
Elected officials appointed by the municipality to represent the municipality on the commission.
Okay, thank you.
They serve at the will of their own municipality.
Okay.
There's three elected, there are three voting members, and then there's three alternates in case, and they have the same power if the voting member is not there. They can also vote, but only if they're not there. They do have a say in what goes on. So when we have a meeting, typically it's six people sitting down. This would be packed for our meeting. We have six people, myself, our solicitor, my administrative assistant, somebody that represents, can you see? Somebody that represents the police association, and maybe another officer. Very rarely, and Glenn can attest to it, very rarely does anybody come to our meetings. We get our business done sometimes in 15 minutes. We have one meeting a month. What's good about our department, well, let me go through this first. I'm jumping ahead. This just explains how we were set up, and I did take a look at what your contract is, and it's basically the same kind of thing. Our constitution in Pennsylvania says that we can do it more or less a cooperation. It took about 2 to 3 years to get to where we were. And we started out with 8 municipalities, I believe. And Glenn, if I'm wrong with something, just holler at me.
There's at least 5 Borough Niagara, Upper Niagara townships.
Academy and Stockertown, I think, were involved. Bushkill Township. So we had about 8 municipalities. Ultimately, we got down to 3. I was a borough policeman, Niagara Borough, and we covered Lower Niagara Township, which was one of the areas that we now have. Lower Niagara was in a contract. We're paying half of it, had no say. I guess kind of similar where you are here with the contract. They decided they didn't want that. They pulled out. The borough was going to come along with us, and they said they did. The council voted yes. The mayor vetoed it, and they didn't have a 2/3 vote in order. They have been hounding us ever since to come back and pick them up. Even on a contract basis, they made a mistake in 1995, and they've approached us 2 or 3 times, as did some of the other townships. Again, 2 to 3 years negotiation to get to that point.
Why didn't you go with them?
Why didn't
they join you?
Why did they not join us? Because, and we'll get into some of that, but one of them was they had a small borough. We had 10 officers at that time. We covered a borough and a township, so we lost 5 of them. Five of us went to the region. They didn't want to come with us because they thought they would lose control. They thought they would lose officers on the street, and they thought that they wouldn't get that hometown feeling and know their officers. Well, I got to tell you right now that I don't think the majority of the residents there can't name 3 or 4, because there's been such an incredible turnover since the time we left. We are governed by what's called the Articles of Agreement. Now, this had to be taken in front of the municipalities, and the municipalities had to vote on it. Can I be somewhere else for you?
No, please.
Okay.
Because I can look at this.
The Articles of Agreement are what govern us. They establish all our rules and regulations. Now, in order to change them, and they just changed them 2 years ago, they just did some tweaking on them. In order to change them, it's a it's got to be a unanimous vote. So each municipality has to say yes. If one says no, you don't change the article of agreement.
And then just the governing body as a whole, opposed that, like our seven, if one votes no, that is stuck.
Right, if you pass it, if you go 6-1, yeah, 4, it's passed in your municipality.
Right, okay.
Now, if you vote no, 6 vote no and 1 votes yes.
Right.
It's a no vote, it comes to our board, and then you are not, you're no longer, you know, they can't change it. It's unanimous to change this. Same thing with the budget. Budget has to be passed unanimously. Each municipality has to. Now my budget has to be in by September 1st. I have to have all my figures, all my numbers in by September 1st.
Are you on a calendar year budget?
Calendar year budget.
Okay.
Yeah. But in order for the municipalities to determine what they have to pay, I have to get it to them. So, you know, I think they work on theirs around October. Yes, sir.
The municipalities have the, they're part of the regional budget or the whole regional budget?
I'll let Glenn answer that for you.
The police commission itself, once we have what we feel is our budget, the police commission will approve of it. It has to approve by 2/3 of the unanimous approval. From that point, it goes to each of the municipalities, and each municipality's governing body would then vote to either approve or reject that budget.
How do you determine what each municipality would take? It's not split equally amongst the municipalities.
Nope.
There's a formula that we have that considers assessed value of the municipality, the population of the municipality, and the biggest factor is number of incidents from the prior year, police incidents.
Well, I'll show you that in a little bit later on, but that's a good question. that's probably one of the stickler points, people not getting what they're paying for, or people getting too much. Now that's where I come into effect. I've been a cop since 1977. I still, you know, I go out on the road and I handle calls, but I'm a business agent. And, I mean, I'm a, you know, what Christine does, I have to do. I manage a $3.4 million budget. I pay the bills. I write the checks. My administrative assistant, we pay every bill. These guys give me the authority. They don't bother me. I mean, it's, quite honestly, these are probably the, and I'm not saying it because he's sitting here, because he's not going to be my boss next year. But these guys have allowed me to run the show since 2003. They don't get involved. We meet once a month. And like I'm telling you, if it's a 15-minute meeting, that's a lot. The rest of the time we sit around with BS. That's how it works. So the Articles of Agreement, there's equal representation on our board from all municipalities. Fatsboro only has 2,000 people. They pay 12% of the budget, and they have the same vote as Glens Township, which pays 52%. The Articles of Agreement also set funding formulas. We started 1995 with 8 officers. We're now up to 25 officers. I mean, the first week we were out on the road, and we had a retired major from the state police as our chief, and he figured we were going to do 300 calls a month. We've been up to 900 calls a month and been that way ever since. He was complaining to us because we didn't even log our meal breaks, but we had no meal breaks. You know, if any of you guys are cops, I assume you are because you have the thing.
Yeah, he's the chief.
Okay, great. Our cops weren't even writing down their meal breaks because we weren't getting them. There were 2 of us on a shift. My full shift now is 5 officers. We're up to 22 square miles. So Washington County is, what, 24, I think? So about that, what is it?
Our combined is 25.
Is it? Okay, so we're a little bit smaller here. Go ahead.
Of the 25 officers, how many are full-time, how many are part-time?
We have no part-time. I don't hire part-time. And if you want to determine part-timers to full-time, you figure 1.5 part-timers equal to full-time. Not because they don't do what you do, but that's pretty much all the formulas how it works. We started out with 2 part-timers because we started out with 5 officers from the Nazareth Borough. We started out with 3 officers from the small town of Bath, And Hanover Township had state police coverage. They had no people. So that's how we started out. But we phased out 3 part-time officers, and since then, we don't use them. We have 19,632 population, 92 recordable incidents a year, and a $3.4 million budget. Let me explain what a recordable incident is, because I looked at some of your, I looked at one of your sheets, and I can't understand it. We do 800 incidents a month, 800 to 900 incidents a month. A reportable incident is if you get a call and you respond and you take some action and you write a report, that's an incident. It does not include traffic citations. It does not include traffic stops. It does not include phone calls, foot patrol, bike patrol. None of that's included. That's just strictly stuff that we do. We were the first regional police departments to be accredited. Over here, I don't know, we have PA chiefs, and the PA chiefs does an accreditation process where we have to meet standards. There's 125 standards. We've met them, and we've been accredited and re-accredited 3 times already. We were accredited in the basement of an old school. That's where we started. It was so bad that the urinals were in there. We had to cement them shut because they were falling apart. It was just a mess. And we actually got accredited because of our standards and what we do. So we were the first regional department in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to do it. I'm proud of that. I did not do that. That was my deputy chief. I gave it to him to do. I said, here you go, 2 weeks, get this done. A year and a half later, we got it done, and we finally got accredited. It's like CALEA. I think maybe you have CALEA, the federal, only it's a lot cheaper. This is our organizational chart. The commission runs the police department. They make policy, they approve policy. They approve the bills, things like that. I do the day-to-day, absolutely everything. I buy the cars, I get the insurance, I get the health insurance, I buy all that, I go out for a bid on that, I handle the pension, I do all that stuff. So if you consider a regional police department, you got to have a strong guy in there, as either your public safety director or your chief. I'm not blowing my horn, but it's a lot of work. I mean, 80% of my time is just doing this stuff, and I don't like that at all, because I'd rather be out in the road.
One point that I'd like to make, though, is the commission does not get involved with police matters, the day-to-day operations,
right?
Living in from the right. Primarily budgetary and approved policy.
I do all the discipline. If I have to discipline an officer, they wrote a resolution and said, you know what, the chief can discipline an officer up to and including suspension, not just emergency suspensions, you can suspend them. We do very little discipline because we have very little discipline. But, you know, they've given me that responsibility to do that. And then when I do it, obviously I'll call Glenn or somebody and say, hey, you know, just so you know, so-and-so's got suspended for doing something stupid.
And they have a right to appeal to the commission if they disagree with the chiefs.
I have had, in 10 years, I think, 4 grievances, and only one went to the commission. You know, we saw all of them prior to that.
What about promotions?
Pardon?
What about promotions?
Promotions are done. We are not a civil service. We don't have to follow civil service regs.
Right.
We do, but we don't have to. We have a real comprehensive testing thing, fitness, we do the polygraph, we go all, you know, the whole ball of wax. Same thing with promotions, you have to test. Now, the deputy chief did not test. He was appointed. He was a lieutenant. We test up to the point of lieutenant. We no longer have it until lieutenant. He was in a bargaining unit. There were some things that went on there that just didn't make sense. He was my second in command, so we promoted him to deputy chief. I have a detective sergeant, Mike Malinsky. He's also our task force, our drug task force representative. We have 2 detectives that are under him, so we have a 3-man detective division. We do 12-hour shifts, and we have 4 teams of 5. These are all the patrols. Each team has a sergeant, and they have 4 officers with them.
Okay.
that's a full complement of the shift. And the chief will tell you that it's very difficult because you got five guys on a shift to put five guys on a shift. If we get 3 out, we're very lucky. And they're busy. Our guys are hopping on call all the time. They do an average of 30 calls a day. Just some of the specialties and the community programs we do. And, and I'm sure that you have a lot of these things now. But these are some of the things that a regional police department, say you were a borough department and you had your 13 men or however many you have, they're very, very difficult to do these things. It's very difficult to send people to training. I have guys in training all the time. We just had a seminar where we got a gaming grant for crash scene mapping. I forget what they call it. But anyhow, we had our guys trained on that. So we constantly had people going to training. All our supervisory staff, myself included, and my sergeants, have attended the commanded Stuart Police Executive in 40 hours, Pollock Symposite, which are Penn State-related courses. These are all college-level courses. So we have about 160 hours right there that our sergeants go to before they, hit the streets. We have a couple people, myself and my deputy chief, are National Academy grads, and I have two sergeants that are Northwestern. National Academy is, you got anybody in National Academy?
No.
National Academy was a 12-week course down at the FBI Academy. 1% of all the police officers in the world get an opportunity to go. It was a fantastic opportunity, and the only reason I went was because my chief had a hook. He had an in. He was a retired major from Pennsylvania State Police, knew the FBI, and got an excellent program. I lived down in Quantico for 3 months, traveled back and forth just to keep my marriage. Actually, staying down there probably kept it. Northwestern was also a 12-week program. We sent Sergeant Malinsky went down to Philadelphia. Sergeant Harmon went out to Pittsburgh for 12 weeks. Detective Division, I explained that to you. They're responsible for all the follow-ups that the patrol give them. We do a solvability factor to determine whether or not we should be giving them those cases, and then they follow that protocol. Detective Hammer specializes in sex crimes, identity theft, internet crimes. It was just a seizure we had. We have a FedEx hub in our municipality, and they call us all the time to run the dog past things. And we got 15 pounds of marijuana out of there a couple of years ago. Detective Munch, he specializes in burglary, robbery, and the violent crime. And Sergeant Malinsky does all the vice stuff. We have a bit of a prostitution problem, and we've been doing prostitution stings both to Johns and the prostitutes. We're members of the North Dayton County Drug Task Force. All 21 of my officers are on that. We can go throughout the county. We can cross county lines. And I think you guys probably have the same kind of stuff going on. One of my sergeants is the head of our region, which is the northern tier of Northampton County, that has 15 municipalities. They fund it. It's all on overtime. It's one of our seizures. This is a small borough. Bath is a small borough. It's 2,000 people. And we have a bunch of Section 8 housing on the north side, and a bulldozer would work real well. Bike patrol, we have 6 guys that are certified to do bikes. We have canine, we have two canine officers. The canine program was fully funded by donations. We go out to the municipality. First dog, we got $20,000 by just hitting some people up in the businesses. Second dog, drug task force gave us $10,000. We just received $6,500 from Pet Smart. Fresh Pet. They make dog food. They were happy. They gave us $6,500 to put canine inserts in our cars. We just got 2 new cars, and they feed the dog. They feed all our dogs. They put a refrigerator in our police station. Once a month, they come in and bring us food. It's incredible. So we have 2 dogs. We have a Shepherd, and we have a Belgian Malinois. I have four guys trained in accident reconstruction, and again, we just got the mapping. Total station, that's what it's called. We do run a Citizen Police Academy. It starts up in September. It's a 12-week program. We allow people that want to see what we do on a daily basis to come in every Wednesday night. We do different programs. We go, to the prison. We'll go to the 911 center. We'll bring the coroner in for a presentation. We take them to the range and we let them fire our weapons. We let them get bit by the dog. Works out pretty well. I'm not sure who my guy is in that one. We also do a program called Shop with Cops. We go to our local schools and we find some kids in need that aren't going to have a good, a fantastic Christmas because they don't have any money, or a couple of them, have been treated for cancer and things like that. We get donations from the municipality or from the people. They're glad to give us money. And we take these kids out to Walmart. We give them each $500. We pick them up in the police car. We take them to breakfast. Chick-fil-A gives them breakfast. We go to Walmart. We shop. They wrap all their presents. We take them to Red Robin for lunch. Red Robin gives them each a present. Plus, they pick up the tab for the lunch, and then we take them home. It's really a good program. It works out really well. And that's one good thing I'll say about Walmart. That'll probably be it with Walmart. We have several grade schools in our municipality. I think we have 6 or 7. We also have a charter school, which is from K all the way up to 12, in one of our industrial parks. So we do that. We do the DARE program. We get a lot of truck traffic, like I'm sure you do here on Route 57. I have one officer that does trucks, inspections of trucks. He has to do 70 level 1 inspections a year to keep his certification. We just wrote a ticket. We do weights. We have a truck that is just outfitted with weights. We just wrote a ticket for $13,800 2 days ago.
A little one.
What's that? Little ticket.
We have a truck go over the Northampton Street Bridge with a 3-ton weight limit, weighs 60,000 pounds, $15,500.
That was a lot.
Two years ago.
Well, we just had one. We just had one in back. It was a 6-ton limit, and he was 60,000 over. Wasn't very smart. But anyhow, they paid the fine. It's $13,800. We perform a color guard duty for any municipality that asks. We have several grants, a seatbelt buckle-up grant and aggressive driver. It's targeted roadways that we have issues on. The state funds it, pays time and a half for the guys that go out. We do an awful lot of that. Crime Watch programs. Now, someone had asked how you pay. I think it was you, Chief, about how we pay, how the municipality pays. And now we're going to get into the meat of it. That's just fluff, all that other stuff. That's blowing my own horn. How do you pay? Our formula is 30% assessed property value. All right, I get a number from the county every year. I call down there and they tell me how much the property in that municipality is. 30% population. Now, we've been using the 2010 census, but then we have a way to adjust it to be normal. Like if they have more housing, there's a formula that figures out how many.
Yeah, based on building permits that adds so many much to the population.
And then there's 40% are the incidents. Now, when the regional started, the concept was not necessarily that the bigger municipalities would carry the little municipalities, but it was based on your how much you could spend, what you could afford. I'm not saying it right, Glenn, but
yeah, the consideration was your ability to pay was one of the factors, but also population is how many people are you serving, and incidence is how much of the police resources are you actually consuming. So we put all the factors in there, and because we really had a diverse group of municipalities. Hanover, we were at the time when we formed about 9,000. That has been the same forever, about 2,000. hardly any commercial in Bath. Hanover, we had industrial park in the population. Lower Nazareth was still at that time pretty rural. Didn't have a lot of industrial, not a lot of population. So the hard thing is when you have three diverse communities, how do you blend them together and what is a fair way to get everybody to pay? And that's the formula we came up with and seemed to work really well.
Now, it's not all roses, I'll tell you, because we had a municipality just 2 years ago that decided they could get a better deal somewhere, so they were going to pull out. So they hired a consultant from one of the colleges. He came in, he worked these numbers. I never met him. Worked these numbers, found out that, you know what, you better stay where you're at. They went to the meeting. We had a big meeting. We had 200-300 people in this meeting. We walked into the meeting. We were all ready to do our presentation. Me and the guys, because I don't want these guys to lose the job. That's simple. You know, you can't, you saw the first couple slides. You can't function at a 10-man or a 13-man police department anymore. Today you can't do that stuff. I mean, when I started, there were two of us. I had from 6 at night till 6 in the morning. The other guy had 6 in the morning. And if a call came in, we went out from home. We went out from our house. And that was the Blue Mountain area up at Appalachian Trail. So it was a 38 square mile township. So, you know, I've been around the block and I understand, you know, what the officers are going to be thinking about. And, you know, there's a lot of mindset here going on if you're going to consider regional policing. These are some other formulas. You can just do it based strictly on population. You can do population and assess value. You can do population assess value. Some people do road miles. You got 20 some road miles out there in Washington Township. Well, it costs a little bit more gas. But you know what? There ain't nobody out there. You might have 6,000 people in the entire township, but 20 are spread out. They probably give you less problems than in the borough. Anytime you get a bunch of people in a little bit of air, it just gets really, really difficult. Now, this is one that we'll concentrate on a little bit here. These are the municipalities. Bath is a small borough, 2,700 population. Lower Nazareth, 5,800. And Hanover, which Glenn represents, 11,068. So the number of calls, and remember, this is not a fluff number. This is a hard, dirty number. This is what we do there. So you can see the difference in the call volume. Now, percent of budget. Bath, who is getting this many calls, is only paying 12%. So out of 9,000 calls, they're getting 13-14% of the calls, but they're only paying.
14.9.
How, what is it?
I did the math. 14.9.
Excellent.
No,
good.
Good. I just replaced Bath with Oxford there, that you can figure out.
That's where much you must be from Oxford.
Yeah, I'm not that smart.
Good for you. You see what they pay? Nobody pays that. Nobody pays $393,000 for a 25-man full-time police department. They're getting a bargain. Glenn knows I'm going to talk blunt, you know, because that's just the way it is. At times they're a problem. They're a problem because they want everything and they don't want to pay. If you look here, per capita, that's kind of an interesting, sorry guys, I'm trying to pay it out, but per capita, $145 per person, that's what you pay a year. Now, and you're going to see these numbers, and I'm going to tell you here, this $201, that's lower in address, that's where Walmart is. Walmart, Kohl's, we have a shopping, I call it our Route 248 corridor, it's Route 248 and 33, warehousing. A third of all their calls are right there within a quarter mile area. Now, what per capita is based on per person, right? This number divided into this number. Now, per capita is very high, but they don't take into consideration the fact that nobody lives in Walmart. Depends on the night. Hanover Township, 4,000 calls, 51%. Now, the where we see the problem comes into, here you get 12.2% of the budget, they're getting 14% of the service. Lower was paying, they were paying 34 until we reevaluated things. They're getting 40%. And then you got Fort Glenn sitting here, who is 51%, and they were getting what was left.
44.5.
Okay. Don't say that.
Sorry.
But you know what? These guys, they've been very generous throughout the years. Now, we've been in existence, we're coming up on our 20th year. They've been generous all that time. Now, we tweak it every once in a while. When I took over as chief, Bass Borough was getting 17%. And I said, you know what? That's just plain not fair. So I cut the patrol time down. Now, we always have a police officer in Hanover. We always have one in Lower Nazareth. And Bass gets patrols. But if we have five men, we don't necessarily put somebody right there unless we have to. Now, but the thing is, and the chief knows this, it's like if your kids play soccer. You ever hear the beast swarm effect? When there's a soccer ball, everybody runs toward a soccer ball. When you've got a hot call, all your guys are going. And that's why you need more than a 13-man police department. We get a bank robbery, we can throw, during the day shift, we throw 10 guys there. In a matter of seven minutes, you know, we can get 10 guys there. Everybody goes. We empty everybody out. The problem is, if you have your own police department, you might throw two guys there. And then you're going to call the neighboring departments for help. And unfortunately, they were doing that to us. Well, don't worry, regional is 24 hours a day. Let's call them and they'll come in, they'll help us out. And I said, you know what? We will not let anybody get hurt, but I am not handling your call. Bottom line. We're going to handle your calls, and I run a business. We'll charge you. I'll send you a bill. Now, I won't let anybody get hurt, and we don't bill. We have never billed, but we're not in the business to get freebies out. State police cover jurisdictions around us. We go out, we do their calls. You know, if they're tied up, we'll gladly do that for them, because they're going to provide us services. Plus, my son's a trooper, so I tell the guys to go out and help them out. Here's your options. All right. Contract services through an established department. That's what you have now. Okay. Reestablish your own department. Regionalize your state police coverage.
I don't think that's an option for us. I don't know if Mr. Cameron or if you've looked.
I know the state police do not want to cover anybody who has a state
own department. And what they would charge you to do it?
Yes.
Because of inflation, if you're paying that.
Yeah, I actually picked up that tree.
In New Jersey, the state police charge to cover.
Well, if you've never had a police department, no. If they've always had that jurisdiction, but if you've had a police department, can you get rid of it? You're going to charge, and you pay through the nose, actually.
Even as I explained our situation, that we had ours, got rid of ours, went to Washington Township, it's
different.
Yeah, it's the same difference, really. Exactly.
State police are obligated to cover our municipalities at no cost.
You're a commonwealth.
Yeah.
How do you tell a commonwealth?
I got to tell you, though, it's a crawl for me because, you know, I live in Bushka Township and I have to pay for my police services. And East Allen Township, which we go through every day, doesn't pay for their police services.
The legislature continually tries to implement fees for service. State police, but so far they haven't been successful.
Mm-hmm. Their legs when the Washington Barracks has one two-man troop car, the sergeant sitting in the station covering the dirt, and that's it. Covering the majority of Warren County stuff.
Yeah, that is. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. That's not an option, and you're going backwards if you reestablish your own police department. Just the way it is. Like I said, the National Crime Advisory Board says anything under 10, you should consider regionalization. You know, I think that based on the fact that you got, how many guys you got?
27.
27 guys, so you're real similar to us. based on the fact that you got 27 guys, you can specialize. You can do things which you can't as a borough. There you go. Advantages of regionalization, or even, and you can put this into a contract basis also. Specialized training and efficiency of what you do. You've got your detectives, they know what to do. It's tough to have one, you know, detective on a smaller department. Unified supervision and management. You have a rank structure. Improved career advancement. Guys want to work for your police department because you have a larger number of policemen. They want to work for you. Cost efficient. Yes and no. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to save money on regional, because if you pick, depending upon what formula you pick, you may pay more money going regional. But I think the key here is, and I have our year-end report is online under our website. I give my board all the information they need to make any decisions that they need to make. They get a budget every month. They know exactly the penny I'm spending. They know exactly how many calls are there, where the calls are, how many arrests we're making, and to the minute, what time we spend in their municipality. I think that's something, you know, that's one of the key things in regionalization. You have a little bit more representation. You know, I guess, do you run the show? You run the show? Yeah. I mean, that's great, because I, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about your department. Talked to one of your old guys the other day, Todd. Yeah, whether he's good or not, I don't know. You know, I spoke to Todd. Todd's in the neighboring department from us. You know, spoke highly of you, spoke highly of the department and the borough, and the fact that you guys were together. I mean, what else am I? I'm blubbering here. Consistency of enforcement throughout the jurisdiction. You know that if you go to Washington Borough, you go to Washington Township, you're going to get the same. You know, the officers are going to be the same. They're going to treat you the same. You're not going to be afraid to go into Washington Borough because, the darn borough cops are there, or vice versa. I have written what's called uniform traffic regulations with the three municipalities, and uniform traffic regulations are all our parking enforcement stuff. So I wrote a 12-page document on that. It's the same. We use one ticket throughout, you know, for parking violations. What it does also is can coordinate your services, you know, improve deployment and distribution of police personnel. That thing where you have a bank robbery and you throw 10 guys at it, well, I got to tell you, I've worked everywhere. I've worked small departments, I've worked city departments, and I can tell you that the most fun we used to have is when they have a bar fight in one of the outlying districts, and we got called to a bar fight. We go to a bar fight, we do what we needed to do, and probably a little bit more than we should have been doing, and we left. Because there was no sergeant to tell you, do this, do that, do this.
We used to call them away games.
There you go. That was a lot of fun, you know, and that was in the 70s and 80s. Well, we can't do that anymore. And somebody has to be held accountable, and you have to be held accountable by your own rank structure. And you got a bigger department. I know, my sergeants know that when this guy gets here, you go here. When this guy gets here, you go here. You do this, you do that. If you don't do what you're going to do, then there's implications, you know. So that's what that's about. The last thing is release of management from the department personnel from the municipality. These guys don't tell me what to do unless I really screw up. And then I really screw up. But they let me alone. The municipalities let me alone. They very rarely call me. They know that they can. They can email me. They can come in. They can do whatever they want to do. But they really leave me alone. Training is a big thing, too. Some of the concerns that you have when you regionalize or even contract, you get loss of control. Decreased officer presence. Happens. You don't know your guys as well. You don't see that guy walking on, you know, foot patrol, that kind of stuff. Equitable distribution of service. The borough might get more service than the township, or vice versa, and then they get into a squabble. loss of personal touch and the cost. We don't know if it's going to be higher or lower. You don't know until you figure out what your problem is, because you probably do the biggest. But you don't you don't know if it's going to be higher or lower. So if you want to do it, how do you start? You do a study. You gather your data, and it's got to be good data. It can't be fluff data. It's got to be the actual numbers. You analyze it, you determine if it's feasible or not, and you set an a timeline. This is where we are. We've done it. It's worked real well for us. We actually did have a contract with a small municipality, 160 people, so Oxford is nothing. We had 162 people in the municipality. We charged them $14,000 a year for police protection. They got 1 hour of patrol, and they got 24-hour service from us. $17,000. The neighboring department picked them up because they were going to charge them $1,000 less than they were going to plow their snow for. So we lost them. And we weren't going to plow their snow. Does that sound familiar, that kind of stuff? That's all I have.
Okay. You have a question?
I will entertain questions. Yes, sir.
You talk about a feasibility study. So if you start with a feasibility study, from the time you start to the point in which you make a decision and you set up a timeline, what's the time? How long is your timeline?
Could anything, it could be anywhere from a year to 3 years.
And when is our contract up?
Next August.
We have a year.
In Pennsylvania, we had the Department of Community Affairs assist in the initial study when we were looking for the police department. I don't know if we had something like that, but they were very helpful.
They assisted us in our study. The model that we have for our shared services was called by the lieutenant governor. Our model for this was to be implemented throughout the state. We said that directly to him. You can call her Dave.
I was going to say, you believe we're the governor?
more than I do the governor. I'm looking at this. Everything that you do with a regional police department, we do with this present contract.
You certainly do.
There's really nothing that we don't do.
Just one exception. I have no voice as far as your commission, your top.
Well, that's the only thing.
Oxford is, now, mind you, I can call you, I can call Tom, who was crash out of what process. We don't know that for sure. Is when we have something, it's discussed and it's resolved. So, the formality of a commission, we're not a part of it, but we do feel human resources.
Absolutely. In fact, that was a conversation that we had, Mr. Mayor. He mentioned that there's some things that we don't do you'd like to see done. Tell us what it is.
Yeah.
And if it's something that we can do, we'll do it. You know, it's really that simple. The whole idea behind this was to, one was to save money, but we were actually told in the beginning when we started this, that might not be something that happens. In the end, it might cost you a little more. But as far as improving efficiency, I think we've gone above and beyond what we expected in that. I'm looking at the UCR reports. I think the crime statistics for the borough itself since 2009, I think crime has been reduced by 58%. Am I correct with that? 58% reduction. We closed 9 drug houses. One of the things you mentioned is that with a small department, you really can't dedicate anyone to narcotics and things like that.
Right.
In the department, we've dedicated people to that, and we closed 9 drug houses in Washington Borough. But what was the word, Matt? And every time I'm wrong, you tell me. We closed more than 9 drug houses in the borough. Prior to 2009, I would bet you there weren't any closed. And one of the main reasons is a small department, you just don't have the time to
take it. Let me ask you a question. I don't mean to jump in, but let me ask you a question. Do they know that?
No.
Or are you just telling them that?
Well, some of it they know, some of it they don't.
They need to know that. Well, they need to know what you're doing.
I've got some of the drug houses, because some of them are right next
but
to
the But they need to know it on paper, or they need every once in a while for you to say it, because these guys get a report every month.
I give them a monthly report, but not that detailed.
Yeah, I can't figure your monthly report, quite honestly, but I...
We in Oxford went from a four-man police force service from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. Generally, you see the firehouse people leaving the firehouse at 2:30, knowing that they could. And then we went with Washington to full service, 24/7 on the clock. I look at our statistics as I did, as I showed you back. We're 8% of the incident based on what you report to us, and that has a lot of things that I know, and 14% of the budget. Our population is 2,300, a couple of months, or what you said last night, roughly 2,300 people in town.
Well, I'll be honest with you, what I'm listening to and what I'm hearing is, they don't want to get rid of you guys. You guys are doing what you need to do. But they don't know it. You know what I mean? They don't know it. They don't have a say. Like these guys have a say.
Well, that's where my deputy chief came in, because he's smarter than I am.
I got one of those too.
Well, he actually, it's online now. There's actually a map of Washington Borough that shows, and Oxford, and the township that shows every single call we have in a given month. You can interact with, you can go on that icon, it'll tell you every call on a particular street for the month.
That's a good
point. Now, we didn't do it the specific address because we don't need to embarrass anyone, but if you click on that street, it'll tell you every single call in that given month on that street and what the call was.
It's on the Facebook page.
It's on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw one of them, but I looked at it on my phone, I couldn't tell. But
the phone is tough. Yeah. The phone is tough.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have you're preparing your budget, you present it to the commission, and you have a municipality that decides we're not paying this, we pay too much, and you say we need a unanimous vote, and they say no, what happens?
If the commission approves of a budget by a majority, and those municipalities, if a given municipality rejects the budget, they are essentially submitting a resignation from the police commission effective 1 year from.
So they're dropping out from police service?
It's basically they have no say in it anyhow.
They would for a year, but then the following year they would be out.
The problem that you get into if you start looking for unanimous votes on everything, you could have a person either direction of the issue would be controlling the issue. And it becomes very difficult then to function.
Well, it sounds like you've had a handle on the budget for some time, but if you have a 27-man department that's patrolling three municipalities, and one of them decides, you know what, we're not paying that, so they're out for that year, what do you do with the officers? Mm-hmm. Do the other two municipalities have to pick up the cost, or do you lay them off for a year?
In Pennsylvania, Northern New York Regional did that. One of the municipalities pulled out, and they were on the hook for the rest of the officer's contract. So if you have a 5-year, and you guys, I don't think you guys have a contract, but your cops might, the collective bargaining agreement, they would be on the hook to pay their salary for that. That's in Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know, we have case law on that. Now,
in essence, the municipalities really don't have to say that you think you're going to get the regionalization. Because if one town backs out, then you're going to have to pay that having expenses.
Right. For the life of the contract. Yes, sir. You have it. We'll get back.
I have a couple questions. You guys go ahead.
But that's, I mean, those are all good points or valid points, because I almost lost 10 of my guys within the last couple of years. But I got to tell you, ain't nothing out here that's guaranteed. My job was never guaranteed. I got guys gunning for me all the time. I have worked on a regional police department, or been on the bubble, I call it, so to speak, for 25 years. I worked in Nazareth Borough that contracted to Lower Nazareth Township. It's exactly the same thing here. One day they up and said, we're going to go regional. The borough said, we're not going regional. So they laid us off. They picked us up the next day, but they laid us off. Not guaranteed. I hate to say that, but that's the cold hard truth. So you're going to lose your last so many guys. That's why it's real important to have this dialogue. That's why it's real important to talk to these guys and give them information and go back and forth and solve it. And if they say, hey, look, we're going to leave, you don't want them to leave. They don't want to leave, and that's the point. Because if it's working, but maybe it can be tweaked.
To say that the municipality would have it is actually beyond whoever they appoint the commission.
Right. And that has been
there's no question about that.
I guess my biggest question is if you started into a shared services agreement.
It's not shared services.
Well, we are. We
have a contracted service. We pay for you to do something.
Okay.
We have no say. It's not shared service.
I stand corrected. If you go into a contracted service,
okay,
and the goal of that service was to have more efficiency and save money and reduce crime, and all of those things have been accomplished, it did pretty good. So what I'm trying to find out as the chief of the organization is, what is the problem? Why are we looking into regionalization? What are the problems we need to address with the current situation, current contract? I'm not sure what they
are. We can't talk about that now. That's getting into negotiations.
Yeah, that really is crossing the line. But I think it's information.
I have a couple questions, if I might. Your budget. You sit down and you do the budget based on the previous year, what equipment you're going to buy. You present that to your commission. Your commission then says, they sit down with you and say, maybe you can knock this out, you need more money for this or whatever. They work with you on your budget. They take that budget, each of them then, take it back to their municipality, and the municipality then votes on it, correct? Or you vote on it first as a commission?
Commission approves it. We say, as a commission, this is what we believe the budget
okay
is.
So they bring it back, and based on the work that you put in with Chief, the statistics and everything that you get, has there ever been a time when a municipality said, we're not paying that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then after a couple of months of staff, remember, they finally, and this again, it depends on who the representative is, because representative at the time, he was trying to take a hard line, and eventually they reversed it and said, okay, we're paying it.
Okay, and this is a follow-up question to that. Does your committee, council, or whatever you call it out there, do they direct you in what they want, or do they let you do all the negotiating?
In our case, they let me do what I feel is best, and then I'll bring it back to them.
Okay, and then they have to approve what you've approved or disapproved.
Right.
And you would present any, or answer any questions or issues that they may have.
Correct.
Okay.
Now understand, there's two of them sitting there. So two out of five are there.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
On the board.
I don't understand because I've walked into the whole meeting, but it seems pretty interesting. I think what Mr. Higgins was getting at, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but after the budget is made, do the towns have any standing to negotiate?
If two of the three or all three towns say, no, we don't like this. Yeah.
No, but like if a single town turns around and says, you know what, we just had, a bad year, and we need to negotiate our pricing here. Is there a mechanism in place to allow for that?
Sure, they could come back and say exactly that, but then we would say, what's your recommendation? What do you want to say? Do you want to lay off people? Do you want to not buy cars? Not want to put gas in them?
We didn't buy cars in this town.
A lot of the things in the budget are uncontrollable. Your insurance, your wages.
Yeah, that's the side.
But there's very little discretion in the budget that you can cut.
Well, I don't believe that for a second. I'm sorry, but budgets are notoriously inflated to be, negotiated.
I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree there with you. We can't do that because, these guys are looking and seeing everything, 80% of your budget is personnel costs, which can't be negotiated.
No, I get that, but there's got to be, you know.
You could negotiate some of the facts of how many incidents there were.
And then I think that's probably part of the negotiation too, is it's maybe not the entire budget.
Right.
But when I look at myself, I'm the bat in your scenario. I'm the small little peg. That we're only 8% of the incidents, but 14% of the budget. Maybe that's what I come back and say. Is it our population with 2,300? We have 835 houses, 48 of them are empty. Maybe that's a part of my town coming back to you and saying, I agree with the budget, I just don't agree with me paying 14%. Maybe it should be 12%. If that's what we're going
to do. Well, see, that goes back to your original Articles of Agreement, which specifies the formula on how it's going to calculate the allocation.
But wouldn't that fluctuate if I bought in with 325 Section 8 houses in my
and
my incidents would increase, and all of a sudden you're spending, instead of you know, the 8% of the time more, it would warrant them to increase my percentage of that total budget.
How
is that a fluctuating number?
Let me just say that
something. How do you know how much time you're spending in your town?
Based on the incident reports, I'm just.
You don't know how much time you're spending.
I'm saying I'm 8% of the incident.
The total incident. So you're incident driven on what you're talking about. 14% of the budget.
That's what's right.
Right. Okay.
And that's dangerous to do too, because the cities used to do it all the time. They would have a very high crime area, and they saturated the police force. Crime would drop 70%. And they'd say, well, crime dropped 70%. So they take all the officers out of there. Not thinking, the reason they dropped 70% is because they were there.
But your question, Dave, was in negotiating the contract, is just a percentage of negotiated number. Is this the percentage of the budget? Does that fluctuate yearly?
I think
what each municipality pays?
Yeah.
Sure. Because it puts the numbers in the formula, the population, the incidents, assessed value. Mm-hmm. Give you a good example. When we first started, Hanover was on rapid growth, and we have been. We're at the point now where we're just about fully developed. There's very little vacant land in Hanover. So we're going to become stagnant. Our assessed value is going to peak off and probably change very little. Bath has been that way from day one. They are a small borough. They're fully developed. They have no place to grow. Lower Nazareth, on the other hand, is probably not even 50% developed. And so over time now, their assessed value is going to grow, where Hanover is bad, their assessed value is going to stay pretty much stable. And lower Nazareth share is going to continually to grow a greater percentage, because increased value, increased population, increased incidence.
Okay, how do you determine population? The population we used to use per capita, but one of the school districts, who generates per capita, stopped doing it, so the data was no longer available, so we decided to use population. So we use the census, which is only every 10 years.
Right.
But okay, how do we adjust between the census?
Exactly.
There was a formula that came out of New Jersey, I don't remember the organization, but for every building occupancy permit that was issued, it determines whether you had one person or two people.
It's a Rutgers study.
Yeah, I think it's a Rutgers study.
Yeah, it tells you that every dwelling unit is going to have 1.2 children or something like that.
And that's what we use.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Get back to the budget. So we have that right there. So you have your own separate budget. How is that account set up to be managed by the chief, I guess, would oversee it, right?
I charge them. They pay per month. They
every
send
month.
Me a check every month.
Every month.
I put it in our checking account, and you just take care of it from there.
Okay. Who audits you?
Who audits me?
Yes.
We have an independent firm that comes out and audits.
Does that have the police budget, or do the three municipalities pay for that?
The police budget.
Okay.
So they pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What What do you do at the end of the year when you have surplus?
It stays into the police budget and it may be used to offset an increase for the following year.
Okay. How often have you had a surplus?
I spend all my...
Well, yeah. We carry over...
You spend all his money too?
We carry over $190,000 a year. Now, what that means is...
That's your emergency...
Don't listen to this. But that's our emergency fund. I probably keep about $340,000 in bank. I had $800,000 at one time until we purchased the building and then the two municipalities purchased it. But to get where you're going here, that offsets, the money doesn't go anywhere. I don't give it back. That offsets them for the next year.
Okay, so we have a total of $190,000 in surplus. How does that get adjusted per municipality?
I just put it in the total budget is
$190,000. Okay, so you start out with $190,000.
Less than 90. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
The only time we ever returned money to the municipalities was back when you said it was up around $100,000. We at the time thought we were going to build a police station, the commission was. So we kind of add a little extra in the budget every year, anticipation of building a police building. What awfully happened is Hanover and Lord Nazareth bought a building which we leased to the police commission. When that happened, we said we don't need to have $800,000 in our budget, so we returned the money to municipalities in a proportion in which they paid it in.
Okay. Now, your articles of agreement are basically a contract between
municipalities.
The municipalities. So once everybody agrees to that, they all sign it. How long is your agreement for?
Perpetual. Until it's all indefinite agreement. There's no date or finite time.
It continues on and on until somebody decides they want to get out.
Like the bylaws.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Who negotiates your contract with the officers?
The commission.
The commissions.
Which we're in the middle of right now.
Okay. Who writes the grants?
I do.
How many do you write a year, do you think?
Not many anymore. I just wrote the cops grant. Obama was going to give us the money for body cameras. That was useless. Found out that we didn't qualify, so I didn't even bother writing the grant. There's a couple out there, you know, I do them or my deputy chief does them. My administrative assistant can do those.
Benefits. The salaries and benefits, you sign the paychecks?
I do.
Do you pay for the benefits?
I do.
You shop for the benefits?
I do.
Isn't there a municipality that could cover the benefits?
No.
And reduce the amount that they contribute?
No. You can't. In Pennsylvania, you can't allow the municipality to cover us. They won't do it.
Is there a law that prevents that?
I think there is. I'm not 100% sure, but I think there is. But we can't go on their plan. But I got to tell you, I negotiated a real good deal. I mean, I have 25 employees.
Especially the police are not the employees of any one municipality.
That's a good point. They are not the employees of any one municipality, but they are employees of every one municipality.
Right, and that's why they probably come to one of one municipality's benefits.
But we have what's called Benicon. It's kind of a group insurance thing, and within the next year, I should be actually getting money back. They self-insure to a certain, so you got to shop around. You just got to look around.
What type of pension plan do you guys cover out there?
We're covered under Act 600, which is,
fire and police pay?
Just police. Act 600. Our officers get 50% when they retire.
And you pay that to the state? You have to pay a portion of your...
The state gives us money for that. Last year they gave us $3,400 number of units. So I got 25 officers, I got 50 units at $3,400 a unit. So I got $100,000+ in. The officers then make up with the contributions. Because I have to determine, it's called the minimum municipal obligation every year, and I figure all those numbers out. And then I budget $30,000 a year for the commission to chip in. Now, that's all negotiable.
Okay, so, but when a police officer retires from Colonial, do they get a check from the state, or they get it from you?
They get it from me. They get it from our pension fund. Yeah, it's not state run, because we...
Ours are very disposable.
Yeah, we're backward. We're not portable either. I got 38 years on, but, you know, my pension doesn't reflect 38 years.
A lot of departments in Pennsylvania, the actual city of, like City of Easton,
right,
they pay their pension. City of Easton pays.
Wow, maybe the state of New Jersey should take some...
Well, ours is funded, now let me qualify that. It's not funded through the state. They're the facility, but it's funded through fire casualty insurance, foreign fire casualty insurance. When they write a policy outside Pennsylvania, there's a tax on that policy, and that's what funds our pension.
Well, yes, the same thing I'm trying to hear, Jim. That's what the fire...
Yeah.
Okay, so, can there be bits and pieces of both the contracted service and what you have? Can that work together? Or does it have to be strictly black and white?
It's up to you guys. You guys got to sit down and negotiate that. I mean, I don't see any reason why you could not work out some representation or funding issues. Yeah, I don't know Jersey law, but you got a good thing going. But, you know, I think the issues are some representation, a little bit more saying what's going on. I'm just listening to what I'm hearing here. A little more saying what's going on, a little bit more accountability and knowing what's going on.
I don't think anybody, and I might be speaking out of turn for anybody up here, and if I am, please stop me. I don't think anybody has an issue with the police department. You understand what I'm saying? With our officers, with the chief, the assistant chief, I don't think anybody has an issue with that. There are other issues, and we can't get into that. But, you know, taking a look at everything that you presented here, you know, there's some ideas I think that could be floated.
Yeah, and I think when you called and asked for a presentation, I thought, you know, that's kind of what you need. You need a little bit of dialogue going on.
In order to make the educated decision, you have to get all the information. So that's what we're doing. Your question is back to
this. Yes,
so when you look at the situation, bottom line, what's the difference between what you do and what we do? So just the fact that we don't have any representation. More or less. And then it becomes a matter of cost.
Well, so the budget is under...
The cost point.
The budget is not, you know, a separate budget. Right?
You have a separate contract with this. What the borough and township has, based on 24-man department, is 50% of the cost. By doing a regionalization, if I'm not mistaken, if you're going to do it based on call volume, so if the town has 64% of the calls and the incidents, they would pay more, correct?
They would pay 64%. Now, that's strictly one formula.
It's a formula that everybody agrees on. The mayor's right.
Right. There's three possible formulas. Population, assessed value.
And that would be that.
Assessed property value. Mm-hmm. Your first one is how you pay. 30% assessed property values, 30% population, and 40% income. Between borough and township, how many people do you have in borough?
66. We're within 200. So you have to look at is, we couldn't even get a straight answer from Oxford. When they had their
own budget.
There's things in the budget, in the police budget. You have the police budget, and then you have fuel might be pulled out of that section for the whole municipality, for the road department, police department combined. Insurance costs, and that's the way I think your situation is as well. Okay? Now, Oxford was paying, from what we could figure out, $750,000 for a four-man part-time department. Okay? Now you guys are paying, like $550 or something like $1,000, and you're getting access to a 27-man, 24-hour system, canine unit, tactical food, their officers, the staff. So you're saving almost $200,000 a year. 6 years later,
Yeah, you're not spending money.
You're getting a parking. In my opinion, you guys are getting a parking in this county. And...
You guys know my concern, and we're not going to air that here.
No, I understand it, but if you remember, and people's memories are short as far as the services that they were getting, and then now I'm being blunt, but, and we had this discussion before, I don't think a lot of residents remember the type of service they were getting prior to when we took over. And like Chief McDonald said, I think that the number of drug distribution houses is up around like 22 or 23 that we shut down. Some of multiple times.
Yeah, you don't have information here.
Okay, well, listen, and this is the point of all of this. I think this is great. No matter what, how it turns out, I thought this was great. But the point is that I don't want to put this without
something that works well if it doesn't necessarily mean it can't be improved.
I know what one of your issues is, and I know who it's with. And I agree with you 100%. Absolutely agree with you.
But it's not changed, and that's all I'm going to say.
Trust me on this. It will be, and I know that's what No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I have the same exact problem with that particular person.
Well, you know, listen. We all know that the contract ends next fall. I don't know when the docs are ready.
It doesn't end for another 12 years or something.
Really? Really down the road, yeah. Ours ends next year. So somewhere along the line, we're going to have to start setting dates and times for meetings where we're going to get behind closed doors and really get mad at each other.
I want to be there.
I have enough conflict.
Look, it might be online, I'm not 100%, but it's in my office.
Okay. It has been online, whether it still is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're saving money. Are those the numbers that were presented at one meeting at one time? Because they weren't accurate numbers. They were based on 12 officers, and they had 13 officers performing at the time. And I don't know how you can accurately predict
Chief, I appreciate.
I'll show you what I have, and then we can talk about it. Okay? Because I'm not 100% accurate of what's in there, only because of the change in administration between a previous manager and myself. So let me take a look at it, and then you and I can talk about it.
We did that analysis maybe a year ago.
We did an analysis last week in the court, and Ms. Marshall did one on police, so she'll be in tomorrow. I can verify that the information is accurate. Do you have the county 911 system? We do, with the exception of the city of Bethlehem. Okay, so the county then dispatches you guys, right? Right. Okay. Is your call volume based on the information that they provide?
No.
Do your officers keep a log?
Absolutely. We keep a log, and we can tell you where we are every 15 minutes. That's how I can tell you to the minute how much time we spend in each municipality.
We're actually obligated to keep a log. Each individual officer has to keep a log.
They don't like to do it, but they have
to keep a daily activity sheet and assign it at the end of it.
What they were doing, how long it took them to do it, you know, started at 2, ended at 3, that kind of thing.
Right. So they do it through the mobile terminals.
Yeah, no, we do hard copies on the patrol logs because we take a lot of stuff off that. You know, like I said, we do our time, so it's a pain in the butt to mark where you are every 15 minutes, but you only get two municipalities. I don't know how you work your zones, you know, if you do a zone in the borough and a zone in the township, unless you split it or do whatever, we have four, we have three zones, so it works out pretty good.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here, Chief.
No problem.
Finally get a chance to meet you. After 6 years.
If anybody has a question, any, even you guys, if you got, if you want to run something past me, just call me. I'm around. But I, you know what, let me just close and I'll get out of your way. I just think you need some dialogue. Get some dialogue going, man, because you know what, first off, you don't want to lose, you don't want to lose 13 guys, and then, and they're not going to want to lose 27 guys. So, you guys got to just look at it.
Any other questions, Mr. Claypool?
Well, Chief, if I have a question for you that pertains to Glenn, can I give you a call to get him the message?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, I would accept the motion to adjourn.
Second.
No.
I need the motion first.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No opposed.
Okay, wait a minute. You'll be fine.